winning trophies. I'm in experiencing a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing? How do you like those apples? Top of the table. Ooh, we're only 17 game weeks in, but a huge win today. 1-0 against Burnley, the Builders. They never made it easy. We had some tough VAR calls not go our way. We do pray to those gods, but United... inch it out, sir. Huge win, huge 3 points. On to Anfield.
Turf Mordor was spooky, sir. Away at Burnley's never easy. You know, they have a tough defense. They've only let in 7 goals coming into the game. Obviously, Paul P gets his goal, sir. He's getting paid. Give that man that money.
Give him that money. I don't think he's re-signed a new contract, but as long as he's here, he can play like that all day long. He had a huge impact. Bruno probably got stifled a little bit, but... it was great to see Paul Pogba step up. Big performance from the whole team, to be honest, because they never made it easy. Burnley is like the new Stoke. Like 10 years ago, you hated going to Stoke. You know, it was always tough to get 3 points or even a point. And today, they made it tough for us. You know, they defend well. They press high. But thankfully, we just kept pressing, sir. Kept pushing. Got that goal.
And clearly, the VAR gods, everyone who's been listening to the podcast has not been praying to the VAR gods enough, because we got absolutely, like, just... the worst calls I've ever seen in a game. And this is kind of where Manchester United have never been in a title race in the VAR era. Now that we are, it's just like heart attack city. Heart attack city watching it. The decisions, there's no explanation. You can't even hear what the referee is saying. And like, you know what? The referee's no friend of mine.
Hey, Kevin Friend. Yeah, so change that last name. We've got some good calls in our day. Today, we've got two tough ones, you know. And if we were sitting here... only 1 point above the Scouts Bastards with a point coming out of Turf Mordor. Be a lot of pissed off fans. I'm sure Twitter would be hot fire. But that being said, egregious. You would think they're going to learn from this. I'm not going to be too salty about it. But we got 3 points.
Sorry, I was yelling at
ridiculous.
My TV.
It was ridiculous stuff. The Maguire one, they took away that goal. It's like,
look, you know, it's
Harry finally getting a header.
Keane said it. You know, watching this club is not good for your health. Maybe watching this club in the VAR era is not good for your health. Usually they go, calls have been going for us, but this one, you face headwinds and you show up at Turf Moor. The referee's against you. Their defense is against you. They're playing cheeky. They're fouling you. They're stopping, starting. You know, it's just an ugly dogfight of a game. And, you know, you question whether United had a finish in them. You know, Rashford silent, Martial off the mark, Paul Pogba, like I said, earning those checks. And you love to see Paul Pogba playing well in this United side with Ole at the wheel. I mean, you know, 3 points clear. 3 points clear, sir, for the first time in the history of the podcast. We're sitting here in January talking about 3 points clear. Number one, Manchester United. Love to hear it.
Sir, forget January. I mean, I know we haven't won nothing yet, but just being first in the league since we started this pod, this is a new experience for the two of us. So enjoying every second of it as we should, but United...
kind of nervous now. You know?
Yeah, but you know what? Everything to play for and nothing to lose, because no one expected this. The United team, maybe just the, you know, the United fans.
I said we could win the league. I said that we could win the league at the end of the year. You could bring it back, sir. You can rewind the tape.
So you're right. So you know, shame on me for not thinking so. I know a lot of people didn't, and a lot still to do. But this is a good start, brick by brick. Today was not easy. United grew into that game, arguably. Second half even better, and could have put 3-4 past Burnley if boys were truly sharp today. But Paul Pogba certainly was. Matic was. Bailly was. Harry Maguire was. Had a great game. And we on to the next one. You can't just have Bruno and Rashford week after week being your only guy. So, you know, other people stepping up. It's good to see.
Love to see Pogba translating for Cavani on the pitch. Cavani also heated early in the game. You love to see the passion from the Uruguayan. He's back in the side. I think adds a little pep to our step. And you mentioned Bailly. Huge blocks from Bailly. I mean, makes his body big. Puts the hands behind the back. So critical. He was bailing us out big time. Eric Bailly.
Had a couple big blocks early in the first half, then obviously assured in the second half when they started putting it on after we got that goal. Those last 10 minutes, never good for your health, sir. This United
and Martial missing the sitter.
Missed a couple sitters. Cavani missed a sitter. I mean, missed a couple sitters today. Like I said, it could have been 4-0. It's 1-0.
But this is what a title race is about, yeah. Right? You know, the fine margins of football, the deflection from the Pogba strike to the goal in between Pope's legs,
yeah.
By the smallest margins, you get the 3 points. I mean, it's amazing. You love to see it, but that's what it comes down to. Titles come down to the smallest of margins. And what you're seeing as a fan on the couch, you know, for what, however many years, 8 years since Sir Alex retired, we haven't been feeling this way. And sir, I need to get my blood pressure medicine upped. Sir, that's all I got to say.
Call your doctor. Get a re-up. Might need a higher dose.
I need a bigger dose.
Because you thought United was bad for your health before. Way we're in a title race. But it's on to the weekend now, sir. You know, really, just giving the Scousers something to think about, because that's what we needed to do. We had a chance to go in to Anfield with a point with points advantage, 3 points, and we did it. And we did, that hasn't been, you know, we're talking about, are we, you know, the real deal or just faking it? A year ago, we were losing these games. We were dropping points. It's like you don't win them all, but brick by brick, you're seeing some resiliency in this side, I would say.
So Wolves was probably faking it. Villa, you know, I think that's a win. This is the full pressure cooker. This is everything on the line. All of a sudden, fixture schedule late. It means everything because you're playing that catch-up game to Liverpool. I mean, the team will should not be named, God damn it. And we're playing them at the weekend, and it's a must-win, sir. And they did it. They played well. Everything went against them. They played well. They grounded out. They got the win. Away win. Tough win. Sam Dyche aside. Play hard. And that's what title. That's how titles are won. So I want to say, are they up to the task? Absolutely. And the real test, like Ole said, is going to be Sunday morning, sir. Be a lot of shouting. A lot of hooting and hollering from the American Red Devils and probably everyone around the world, because United are going into another tough away fixture where, you know, the upside in the past is a loss, and we're going to be thinking about winning this game. So not going to say I'm setting the expectations as a win, but that's what fans are thinking, and that's what Ole's going to be thinking, is going to be winning. And I know the crazy German, Jurgen Klopp, is going to be sweating.
Your boy, Big Teeth, he's going to be whinging no matter what. They win, lose, or draw. He'll still be complaining. That's all he does.
1-0 penalty win. And
I was going to call. Wait till we get to the preview. I was going to call that. Hopefully. Yeah, VAR guards, they didn't smile on us today.
5-0, 5 penalties. Manchester United beat Liverpool.
I would enjoy it. Keep mentioning their name. It's okay, sir. We're gonna be talking
about
it.
It's hard
on
the pod about that team and not mention it. Yeah, I'm trying my best.
You know, now that we're in a title race with a team who will be named often because it's relevant. We're in a race. We got to talk about the people that are also in the race, even if they're below us at the moment. Sir, we're getting giddy. It's brick by brick, sir. Brick by brick.
Santa Claus is coming down. We are in a title race. That's all I got to say.
Losing our minds over here.
Absolutely. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, you can support us on Patreon. We are for fans, by fans. We want to use this podcast and our website, www.americanreddevils.com. The blog is a platform for all the fans to get their views on this club out there. Everyone knows the BBC, Simon Stones of the world, they're doing Ed Woodward's bidding, and we feel that there needs to be independent fan content for a lot of laughs, sir, interesting topics, and just, you know, giving that biased opinion from the couch. If you want to support us, we have no sponsors. Patreon is one of the best ways to do so. You can visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We have different tiers, anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. You can support us, help us keep the lights on in the podcast bunker, which is essentially a room attached to Alex's garage that isn't heated in any way, shape, or form. So we kind of, there's no AC either. It gets hot in the summer, cold in the winter. So help us keep the lights on the podcast. It goes a long way to support independent fan content. Also check out our blog, like I mentioned, www.americaredevils.com. We have great fan content there. Shout out to all of our contributors. And we have amazing merch if you click on store. Sir, tell them about dropping an iTunes review.
Drop those iTunes reviews. They go a long way. If you put together a 5-star review on iTunes, if it's cheeky, even better, take a screenshot, send it to americaredevils@gmail.com with your address, and we will send you a couple free stickers. It's the best way for us to get found is through iTunes reviews, so if you can push those, we would appreciate it. What else, sir? Blog is ripping. If you're interested in contributing for the blog, also reach out to us at americaredevils@gmail.com. We'll see if we can find a role for you. Sir, it's all about giving the fan take. It's United against the world, especially now in a title challenge. Sir, we got to tell people, you know, we got to represent like it is. United against the world, baby.
Absolutely. And that's why we believe in fan content, independent fan content. It's united against the world. And also there's a lot of other fan content channels that are a little negative, and we want to be positive, because even if you watched United of old, you know, there are always ups and downs. And I think you kind of need to have a long-term view of the club versus the reactionary clickbaity type view, which we know is out there, but we just want to say, hey, this is going to be our place. If people have controversial takes, all takes are welcome, but I think they should be discussed over the long term, you know, nothing too knee-jerk reaction. Like if we do lose at the weekend, sir, you have to keep it in context, right? Because they're still in the race. A lot of fans are going to act like they got coal for Christmas, but we rarely leave that shit box with three points.
Not recently as well. Sorry, sounds like a hedge. Sounds like a hedge in your bet.
I'm just saying. People are going to, like, the problem with United fans, the state of United fans at the moment is we 8 years with no real, like, you never won a title. You know, we never won a title. You know, we're very successful, not a lot of silverware to show for it. So we're dying for it, so that if everything doesn't go our way, everyone just like whinges like crazy on the internet machine. And maybe it's because of the internet machine now. You know, Twitter is different than it was 8 years ago. Maybe that's the reason for it, but everyone kind of just moans after every loss, like so huge, like the City loss, everyone's moaning about, and now we're top of the league. So, I mean, come on, it's energy drink cup, mate.
Exactly. I mean, it's football these days. It's 2021. You're only as good as your last match. And this team, you know, and this manager has gotten a lot of, a lot of shit all year, including from our own fan base. So we're just going to tell like it is, tell like we've seen it. You know, he's not without his faults. He's certainly screwed up some things along the way. We talk about the RB game. But at the moment, we are in a title race, and we got a big game on Sunday, and that's all that matters.
At the moment, we're on a tangent, sir. Like we say on this podcast, we call balls and strikes.
Sometimes VAR has to call it.
Yeah, I'm not sure VAR gets it right either, but let's jump into the match recap. Burnley 0, Manchester United 1, Turf Moor, the venue, 17th game week here. Let's get into that lineup. David De Gea, world number one in net. Luke Shaw at left back, Maguire, by center back pairing, Wan-Bissaka on the right, the Pog, Matic midfield, Martial on the left, Bruin in the hole, Rashford on the right, Cavani at number nine, sir. We don't need to talk much about this lineup. It's the best team, right?
I bet to say, what's not to like? This is arguably the best starting 11 we got. Maybe not the right starting 11 for every team, but for Burnley, it shows your intent. You're going for it. Fred McTominay, because you're getting rested for the weekend, clearly. But good to show. I like to see that. All about it. It's like, it's a strong 11. You're taking it to Burnley. You know they're going to be hard to break down. I need Pogba and I need Bruno.
The only thing you can say is maybe the midfield duo of Pogba and Matic. You haven't really seen them a lot, and you haven't seen them play well recently, but Matic on the day looked great, and when he is on the day, he's probably the best player to play there.
No doubt. He's a natural CDM. He's got experience. He's a Premier League winner. And, you know, we saw that with some good success in the last run-up after the restart last year. Those two playing in the pivot behind Bruno. Haven't seen quite as much of this year, but we're going to need to, because we can't just play Fred McTominay all the time. It's good to see these two, and they played really well.
I would say Ole got it spot on. Quick mention to the bench. We had Hendo, Telles, Twanzebe, Fred, Van de Beek, McTominay, Mata, James, Greenwood. So we have firepower on the bench. Didn't really have to use it, so that was pretty good for United's perspective. First half, United come out okay, but Burnley are tough to break down, and they press well. I mean, we all knew going into their house, they got a great defense. They have a great record at home. It was going to be tough to break them down. 17th minute, amazing chance for Bruno Fernandes. Quick snapshot for him. I thought this was going in past Pope, but you know, he was wiser to it.
Yeah, you thought Bruno all day, he's going to score that, but it wasn't quite meant to be. Wasn't his best performance in United kit, but he certainly wasn't bad.
Thing about Bruno is even when he doesn't perform well, he can get a goal and assist and we can win.
Right.
Maybe not today, but he did pull some strings. 20th minute, better from United. Bruno puts in a good ball. Tony Martial, bicycle kick, why not? I mean, this one right off the defender's face. I thought it might have been a handball initially. But United, you know, I thought we were getting into wider spaces, Rashford, Martial stretching them, trying to get Bruno involved, and also that pullback cross, similar like AWB worked with Martial previously, works well. That when a team's sitting in, you can kind of bend it inside out, and this was an example of that. 22nd minute, Bruno gave the ball away. This one was tough. Bai with a great block. Somehow blocked it with his chest. Sir, he's all over the board. How long can he stay healthy?
I mean, if he stays healthy through the rest of the year, that could be the difference. And what a difference he is. Him playing with Maguire, it's just such a good compliment, the two of them. Just Maguire. Thunder and lightning, sir. Thunder and lightning. If he can stay healthy, what a defense we might
have. I'll tell you, the attackers know how to turn Maguire inside out. And they did on this play. It was just like, you go one way, go the other way, and Maguire's dusted. And a great ball in. 25th minute, Martial with a great chance after a nice pass from Matic, but blasted over. I thought this one, vintage Martial, would have curled it. It was still a tough chance, but he missed it by a margin that's uncharacteristic of Martial. 28th minute, Cavani pulled down by the last man. Could be a red card. Goes to VAR. Somehow, Shaw gets a yellow, sir. So this is really the match moment, you would say. Essentially, Cavani goes down, last man back. I tweet out, that's a red. It was a clattering challenge on the other side that started everything. And then VAR goes to it. They're looking at the last man back challenge. Clearly that. Then they start looking at the Shaw challenge here, and it just all falls apart.
Yeah, I don't know where this falls in the rule book, sir. I'm sure something was fucked up.
I got the rule book here.
I know you do, sir. But that being said, it's like the Cavani, you know, if you're going to call the Shaw foul, you blow the whistle and don't let them go on the break. But Cavani getting, you know, pulled down with that tackle, not even getting the ball, last man, you think that's a red, and it somehow goes the other way. They get a free kick, and we get a yellow.
Sir, you know.
I prefer really not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble. In big trouble. And I don't want to be in big trouble.
Don't want to be in big trouble, but we're going to speak anyway, sir. As far as VAR is concerned, Cavani, it's a clear red. The Shaw challenge, how many replays did they show on the TV? I mean, this is the longest. This kind of is almost like watching the NFL. When you watch a replay, that you're watching it over and over and over. And like,
this is as long as I've seen the referee in EPL. This is like 5 minutes. That was like, they did two looks of two different plays. So effectively, it lasted twice as long as the average VAR call.
So to get into the actual rules of VAR and why this is such a curveball as it relates, you might say, okay, well, it is a foul. But VAR has specific rules, and it's only supposed to be used for, quote, and this is from the Premier League website, clear and obvious errors or serious missed incidents, and the only four match-changing situations that it can evaluate are goals, penalty decisions, direct red cards, which means not a second yellow, or yellows, mistaken identity. So those are the only four things that VAR is supposed to be able to look at any play for. So obviously they're looking at the red, the straight red for Cavani, and then they start looking at Shaw, but VAR isn't allowed to look at fouls in the buildup to a red, right? They can't look at a foul before a red. So they have to be looking at a straight red for Shaw. So VAR has to be telling the referee, we think that you got this wrong. This is a red card for Shaw. Referee goes to the video monitor, which is better than last year, and give Shaw a yellow. And that's not what VAR is supposed to be used for. It's either supposed to be red or nothing. And if it's nothing, then the Cavani red stands. And so this one, I think not many people are talking about in the weeds, but it's kind of one of those things where you start going down the rabbit hole of VAR and the rules get misinterpreted. Now they're giving out straight yellows for it, which isn't what it's meant to be for, sir. And then it nullifies the Cavani foul. They probably got it right at the end of the day. It's probably a yellow, so I'm not going to argue with that. But if you read the rules and what you're supposed to use it for, this is not the use case, and they're using it this way.
It's a bad omen, because that feels like the NFLification of the Premier League, because they took so long to make this call, made the call exactly before the call, and then at the end of the day, is it better? It slows down the game so much. I mean, they got it right, but they got it wrong, because they let the game play on. Shaw made the tackle. Arguably, he gets the ball. It should be a clean tackle. And I thought it'd be the worst call he made today, sir. Give me 10 minutes.
Is him missing? It's like Shaw got part of the ball. It was a hard challenge, maybe a little late, and he kind of clipped his ankle. Is that clear and obvious red card miss? I don't think so.
Well, he didn't get a red, so obviously not.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So it wasn't, but VAR goes to evaluate it that way. And obviously we're going down a rabbit hole, but this is a concern when you're in a title race and you're having this type of stuff basically take away a red card in the 28th minute. And then it leads to a Burnley free kick, sir. And we're defending a free kick.
Leads to a Burnley free kick. Leads to Luke Shaw getting a yellow card. And, you know, I'm not trying to get their man sent off. That could have actually changed the game in a negative way. Made it even harder to score on them with everybody piling back behind the line. But they just get it. Just it's slowing the game down. They're making calls that aren't even there to be made calls. It's not good for the game. It's not good for football.
So this is the real question. Assuming Cavani doesn't go down, on that side of the pitch, is Luke Shaw's challenge looked at as a straight red by VAR? And the answer is no. They would never look at that challenge for a straight red. They would never stop the play.
They might. You know, if he scored the goal, you don't think they'd go back and try to take the goal away from United?
No, I'm saying, like, say if Cavani just, like, lost the ball and the game continued, I don't think VAR would have stopped the game evaluate that challenge based on what I've seen.
But
today.
What if he scored?
Problem is, once you stop the game, you start looking at other things. And then this is where VAR kind of goes down that rabbit hole. And, you know, so we could slate this all day, sir. You know, here's another VAR. 36-minute McGuire scores a towering header. We're begging for it on the pod.
Great header.
Ref calls it a foul. VAR takes a look. They confirm with the referee. Softest foul I've ever seen. Unbelievable. McGuire robbed. Amazing finish from, like, an impossible angle.
Ridiculous.
Great goal. This is 1-0 Manchester United. The ref takes us away from us, sir. It's like, you know, grab the pitchforks. Let's go.
The Cavani one's like, whatever. I'm not going to piss him off. This is like, Harry needs a header. It's a great header. It's like a towering header. I mean, how are you supposed to score a header if... It's preposterous. You know, they're looking for a reason to call it. And I think Burnley.
This was robbery. I mean, you're right. 28th minute, tough to swallow, but it is right.
It is what it is.
I do agree that.
But McGuire losing this goal is preposterous.
No, this one is just like, you know, I'm shouting at my TV, sir. Like, cursing. It's tough. You know, this one is just like, what do we got to do? Like, he put nothing into the back of the Burnley defender. Nothing, sir. Absolutely nothing.
Well, you knew they're like, this ain't a good omen for United, right? Look, the team had the chances, and you're getting these calls that are just like playing against you. That's why I'm so impressed by this victory today, sir. They showed so much resilience to keep pushing because Burnley were not giving us an inch.
No,
and we played harder in the second half.
No, absolutely. And so I think after this one, you could tell United, the piss and vinegar in the United players was hitting peak level because you could tell on the pitch we were kind of getting back into the game. Like, as the more we got screwed over, the more we kind of started stepping up, and you love to see that. 43rd minute, Manchester United break. Martial makes a wrong pass, and then 45th, Martial puts a curl in 35 yards out. I mean, unbelievable hit for Martial. You love to see it, but Pope denies him. Pope, great keeper for Burnley.
He's a very good keeper. They've got a very good defense. Martial trying to make up for his earlier wrong. It would have been a spectacular goal if it went in, but it wasn't meant to be. They go in. Deadlocks are at halftime. What do you think Ole is saying to the boys?
I can't believe Harry got robbed.
I know.
I honestly, like, for the...
Needs a goal.
For the pod and everything and us giving Harry smack, that would be a great goal. What it would mean after that. VAR, like, nightmare, you know, going in 1-0. I mean, game would be locked down. Instead, you're kind of, like, looking around. I actually think the locker room, everyone was just kind of like, how dare they steal this from us? We got to go. I think it's probably United the team at halftime.
No, I would say so, because they knew, you know, better side in the first half. There's a little bit of a chip on your shoulder after you get those, you know, the second goal. Let's talk about the second. The McGuire goal is, like, egregious. You know, everybody on Twitter, pundits alike, former players are like, that's an absurd call. So there's no ambiguity there. But that's, you know, a little bit of what you saw in that second. I think they came out with, like, something to prove. And Burnley kept pushing up to them, and they kept pushing back. And they started winning those 50-50 balls a lot more in the second half. Because, I don't know, something seemed to spark where United looked pissed off.
And to shit on VAR even more, if the referee called it a goal, VAR would not have overturned it. You know?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and that's the whole issue here is what's clear and obvious. It's all, and what everyone's looking for, at least all the pundits say, consistency. And I don't think we saw consistency within this game, sir. I mean, at least consistently against United. jumping in second half, we come out with intent, taking it to Burnley from the off. I mean, you could tell the players were pissed about the decisions to date. 52nd minute, great chance for Cavani, but he doesn't connect correctly. 56, Bruno takes a decent pop from outside the box. United were obviously getting closer, building momentum, but we were kind of ruining those chances a little bit. 67th, ball falls to Cavani from a corner. He does well to get space, but blasts it over. Cavani needs some games, right?
He does, and this is a little tune-up match before he starts against the Scouse Bastards on Sunday, sir. It was actually nice in the 67th minute. He created space well. Just a little rusty. You know, not the only player looked a little rusty today.
It took him a few games to get into form, right? And I think it's going to take, and hopefully he's going to be into form at the weekend. We don't have to wait much longer, sir. 71st minute.
Fernandez. Now Rashford. In towards Pogba! Textbook technique from the Frenchman. Paul Pogba sets United on the way as Ollie's men eye up top spot in the Premier League. Top the table. Manchester United.
I mean, Paul P, we've expected to see this from him way more in his career at United. We haven't. And you know what? I'll take it. Great hit. Great ball from Rashford. Obviously deflected, but, you know, Paul Pogba. Look what it meant to him. Celebrated in big time. Also had some wise words in this post-match presser. This is the Paul P that we've always wanted.
No, scoring what matters. Great ball from Rashford. But, you know, when you saw him lining up, you're like, Paul, hit it, hit it, hit it. And then it goes in and you're ecstatic. But you see how much it means to him. You see how much it means to the team. Big goal. And we needed it. We needed someone to step up and get a goal. And it was great to see it in Paul because this is what we need. You know, some of the players have been cooling off. Some big players. Now Paul's stepping up. Wendell Cavani steps up. Martial, maybe he'll start scoring goals, sir. That's what we need. Everybody contributing.
Absolutely. I thought Burnley are going to push. We're going to hit him on the counter, score a goal, kill this game off, and it'd be easy sailing. Not the case. 80th minute, Ole saw the chance. Greenwood for Rashford. I think that was absolutely right. Rashford, to me, he had the great assist, but kind of off and on the right, didn't look great today. 82nd minute, great chance for Martial. Defender puts in a top block. I mean, Martial's close, sir. People are criticizing him online, I guess. But, you know, I think you got to give him time. He's showing you good things here.
And his hold-up play was really excellent today against a hard center-back pairing. You know, that's a really good two center-backs that Burnley have. You know, he did everything but score, sir.
How many times have we seen Martial, Cavani, Rashford? I mean, they need some time right to gel, especially with Rashford coming in off the right. 85th minute, Burnley with the first chance in the second half. And then 87th, they go close again. Time to make a change. Let's get McTominay in for Bruno. I really like this sub. You obviously think McTominay's going to put in that he has a little bigger hoof ball coming from Burnley. You know, Sam Dyche, you gotta worry about that. 91st, Burnley with another close chance, but United hold barely, sir. I mean, it was like scrambled eggs in the box. Everyone everywhere, everything, you know. I need that new blood pressure medication. 94th minute. Martial should have a goal, but Pope saves it well. I mean, this one, it's got to go in. 94th minute, Martial. I have to give him, this one's got to go in. If he's in prime form. I mean,
no, he scores this.
We literally have a photo of Martial on the wall scoring against the team who should not be named. Yeah, it goes in, sir.
No, I mean, he could have had a hat trick today. And he should have a bunch more goals than he has this season. But he contributed well, played all right. Could have iced it. At this point, I was like, we are fucked. The clock kept going, bro. It went to like 98 minutes, like absurd.
World versus Manchester United. Exactly. 95th minute, sub Twan Zabia from Martial. That was the game. Squeaky bum time, 1-0. But you're in a title race. We go top of the table. You heard it here for the first time on the American Red Devils podcast. There were over 260 episodes in. Manchester United, 3 points clear. Oh, it feels good. Feels good. Just soak it in, everybody. How many days we got? Just like, you know, how many days? I've already texted the thread, the Chelsea fan. They're in ninth.
Nothing. They got nothing to say.
You know, I texted the table, the shush emoji, just shh. You know, they got some. They still text back. They got a lot to say, you know. But whatever. Just everyone enjoy this. This is a big moment for this club. You know, it's a fragile lead. It's not a big lead. We're not guaranteed to win. I think saying United are going to win the league is probably a little much right now. I think we haven't been through injuries, sir. There's a lot that can happen.
We're not even halfway through the season yet. There's a lot of games to be played, but you could be out of the title race by now. But we haven't won shit yet, but we're in a great position, and that's a great position to be in. This shows that there's progress being made. This team is growing resiliency. There are personalities emerging every game. We're seeing more people step up. So it might not be our year, sir, but this team is getting better and better, and there's no reason why it can't be our year, because the team that, you know, shall not be named, will be named, whatever, they're a wounded dog at the moment, and you can't deny that. So we need to take our chance and take our opportunity. And it starts on Sunday, sir, because the giant tooth German is sweating, bro. He was already making excuses a week ago about penalties.
No, I know.
He is sweating.
No, he, of course they're sweating, but I'm saying, like, there are, if you look at, sir, there's 21 games left to be played to win 21, yep. You know, it's like, so there's a lot that has to happen. On the negative, you could say, well, you know, haven't been any injuries, so, you know, that might happen. Like, Martial usually goes down. Rashford traditionally has been out, you know, a little parts of the season. Cavani, you know, but then you could also say, well, Rashford, Martial, and Greenwood haven't started scoring, so there's a lot of upside to this season. You could go either way. I think our weakness is the defense, because Bailly and Maguire look great. Lindelof and Maguire look okay. And then if there are any injuries, we usually have center back injuries piling up through in the last past few seasons. And you look at Liverpool, that's where they're struggling. And, you know, if United got to buy. It's January, by the way. Transfer window. Ed Woodward, we're in a title race.
We're not buying anybody.
And we're not buying anyone because Sack, Woodward, hashtag Glazers out. It's a crime not to buy a center back right now. You could see it. We'll talk about it in the pod. Sorry. Mark this day, I'm telling you, center back. Center
I mean, that's
back,
the difference. Back. That's a serious club that wasn't sucked dry by their like parasitic owners would be buying a center back right now. You would be buying a center back in January because you know Eric Bailly, love him to death, he's going to get hurt. It's inevitability. You know?
Bye, bye, bye!
Death, bye, bye, bye! Death, taxes, Eric Bailly will not be able to make it for the rest of the season. I love him, but he's not. There's no way. And he's going to get a niggle. And hopefully it's just a little injury because anything worse, you know, Lindelof's solid, but I think it's these two together that is really going to take us to the next level.
I mean, credit to Bailly for coming back with that after that neck injury. Jesus, I mean, what a beast. I mean, absolutely beast mode. We need him in our team. And sir, I mean, we'll keep you posted here. America Red Devils.
You know, we
talk about center backs. Talk about center backs.
I'm not buying anybody.
You listening? All right. Match stats. Burnley 39% of the ball to United 61%. I'd say that's pretty good away from home. Shots on target 7 to their none, sir. I mean, great performance from United. And when you want to win titles, you got to win when everything's going against you. I think we proved it here today. Resiliency, like you said, mentality. This is a big performance. And Bruno Fernandes has won 20 Premier League games since making his debut. No player has won more. Are you sure? I haven't seen the stats from Kai Havertz or Timo Werner. You know, they're pretty good, right? ninth place, right?
How much if we spent like $150 million on these, we don't hear about them at all. It's like, I think Timo Werner finally scored a tap-in. It's hilarious. I mean, it's
if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I know. Just say it.
Was ninth place and had spent $250 million. It'd be 24/7 news coverage.
He would have been 24/7. He would have been sacked
24/7. It's like, you know, it's such a double standard. And United are unbeaten in 11 Premier League games, the longest ongoing run in the competition. So I like that. And this is the first time Manchester United have ended the day top of the Premier League table, having played as many as 17 games since the final day of their title winning campaign in 12-13 under Sir Alex Ferguson. If you heard of him, sir, he's a pretty good manager. And Manchester United have kept their first away clean sheet of the season in the Premier League, conceding 11 goals in their previous 7 matches on the road in this campaign. We talked about a center back, sir.
We have. And usually, I think they said the stat at the beginning of the game was that every game we've won won away in the Premier League, we've had to concede first. Thankfully, clean sheet today. One goal, could have been many more.
You called 1-0 on the last podcast, sir, so credit to you. But what do we know? We're going to hear from the man, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yes, sir. Of course, I thought we played well here last season as well, when away from home around about Christmas. But the home game was a disappointing one, of course. We're almost halfway through the season, so it's a little bit of an indication of where you're at. But no one will remember the league table, the 12th of Jan.
Simon Peach.
Ole, congratulations. You've spoken a lot about mentality in the last few weeks and days. Your players could have got frustrated. Well, I think they did get frustrated towards the end of the first half. But they kept their composure when they were getting frustrated in the second half. And what can you say about Paul's performance?
Yeah, the frustrations were there too for everyone to see. And it affected our performances. So we can't let that happen. We just got to accept once in a while that decisions will go against you, and Harry's goal was a perfectly good one, so it's a decision that we shouldn't be sat here talking about. The penalty or the foul against Cavani and the red card, of course you go back to the foul on Luke did. I've not seen it yet, so I can't really comment on that one. But half-time helped us. I thought we came out second half, played really well and deserved the win. Then Paul's performance, of course, was... I think him and Nemanja in midfield, I think they really played as players who know what this is about and these games, what they're about.
I mean, I think Ole hit the nail on the head. I mean, Matic and Pogba in the middle, showing everyone they know what it's about. Mature players.
No, it matters. You know, we mentioned Matic being a title winner before. I think that does matter. He knows today it was a big game. Everybody knew it, and it was never going to be easy, but they showed the resiliency, played really well, even after we'd gotten the goal, and everybody was defending, you know, last ship saloon, if you will. It's just a great performance all around. I'm telling you, I think it's the best win of the season because it was so hard, because they made it so challenging for us, not only the team that we were playing, but the officials as well, sir.
No, absolutely, sir. Manchester United versus the world. Table check. That's right. We checked the table now on the Merrick Red Devils. 36 points. First place. Okay. Manchester United. You love to see it, sir. Sing the songs. We've won it all. We've seen a lot. Liverpool. The team should not be named. Scouse Bastards. 33. Leicester City. 32. Everton. 32. Tottenham. 29. City. 29. Southampton. 29. Villa. 26. Chelsea. And that's right. Chelsea at number 9. Coming in at number 9. I think one of the biggest takeaways is the form. If you look at United, usually when you're top of the table, sir, you have good form. We've won 4 of our last 5 and then drawn. And Liverpool have won 2 of their last 5. They've drawn 2 and they've lost. Leicester's on a slide as well. They've won 2, drawn 2, and lost 1. So if you want to look at who else is on good form, Everton. They've won 4 of their last 5, but they do have a loss in there, sir. And we did beat them. So if you want to think about who has all the wins at their sails, it's Manchester United in the league. Clearly, EFL, that sucked. But right now, as it stands, United, like you said, it was 11 unbeaten right now, and yes, no one has matched it. Manchester fucking United at the top.
No, sir. You bring up a good point, though, because my contrarian view is that, like, Klopp knows his team needs to win this game to kind of, like, revitalize their season because they've been going on a bit of a skid. So it's going to be a bar fight, sir. It's going to be a bloody knife fight. It's going to be old English, and we got to take it to them, sir. I mean, we got to take it to the Scouse Bastards because they're sweating at the moment, and I think if United play as well as they can play, then we certainly can beat them.
It's going to come down to our defense versus their attack. You know, it's just, you think matchups and you think our shaky defense and you think Firmino, Salah, Mane, sir, you know, they, you know, it's going to be,
they're going to be flopping, bro. They're definitely going to be flopping. That's what they do too.
It's going to be, and I think it's going to be end to end, and it could be, you know, it could be over early, could come down to the end, could be a draw. I doubt we're going to see a draw given their defensive injuries and our our current defensive woes. So let's get into it. Next match, say Liverpool versus Manchester United, aka the team who should not be named on this podcast. Scouse Bastards playing at Anfield, the shit box, Sunday, January 17th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. 11:30 a.m. Eastern, sir. Finally, a kickoff time.
Luxurious.
Like, not a 4 a.m. You know, back in the day when I went to my first Manchester United versus Liverpool match, kickoff was early. It was a 1 in England just because everyone was just drinking so much. You know, I still think, obviously, people aren't doing that anymore because of COVID. Fans are not allowed in stands. Obviously, bars are closed. So maybe that's why we have a generous kickoff time.
Yeah, probably. And everybody wants to watch this game. It's the marquee game in England. It's the marquee game in the United States. And it's probably the marquee game around the world as comes to global football for the weekend. So it doesn't get bigger than the Scouse Bastards versus Manchester United, sir. In a title race. And it's been a while since these two teams matched up in a title race and it actually mattered.
1 and 2, sir. I mean, we're talking early 2000s for us to both be competing for the title. Obviously, we have clashed when the other were competing for titles. Lifetime versus Liverpool. Manchester United has won 88. We've drawn 67, lost 77. Pretty close there, sir. You know, and they've been getting the best of us as of late since, like you say, the manager that you hate, Jurgen Klopp. So why do you hate Jurgen Klopp? Just tell everybody.
Well, he's the manager of the team that we hate the most.
No, I'm just saying, but you get a certain animation about you. Like, I mean, Jurgen Klopp was a manager who I actually watched at Dortmund. I actually liked that Dortmund team with Lewandowski, Royce, everything, competing against Bayern Munich. I actually thought he would be good for United, but just generally, you've hated him always. And obviously, I don't like him anymore because he's crazy, but you have always just like had a certain extra, you know, something.
I mean, he's allegedly a very good coach, and he's obviously got an eye for recruitment, but he, dude, a top coach that's going to be a top person. Like the amount of complaining he does and just on field theatrics, it's a bad look. Like if you want to be acclaimed for a great manager, I think you have to cut that shit out. And I think that's the difference. It's like, you gotta show a little class, but maybe that's a scouse thing.
It's too much about him. Like, you know, the fist pumps and all this, like, and he's just like
kissing his players.
He's
a schmuck. Sorry. And I hate Jurgen Klopp, bro. I think he's a phony. And I think, like,
he's a madman.
He's a nut job. So is Pep, but it rings phony to me, like those teeth. And
I
just like,
no, I think he's just legitimately crazy. I think he talked about how when he won one of his early titles as a coach, he like went out with the team and then like blacked out and woke up in the back of a pickup truck in a random parking lot with like the league trophy in Germany. Like, so that sounds like Klopp. So, I mean, he might be just playing it real.
Just nuts is nuts, I guess.
Nuts is nuts. First time we ever played at the team that should not be named. April 28th, 1894, blank versus New Neath. Sir, it's hard not to say it when you're talking about him. We lost 2-0 in a test match, sir. So it was very early on in the days of football. Coming into the game, like we said, their form is not great. They drew West Brom. They drew Newcastle. Shout out to Newcastle. They lost to Southampton, sir. Danny Ings with a worldie, but they recently had a big FA Cup win over Aston Villa.
They're under 18. They played their under 18s.
Because Villa had a lot of COVID. People were out with COVID for Villa.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir. They basically went against Aston Villa's under 18s. But that being said, that's their most recent win recently. So that's what I was talking about, is that Klopp can use it as a motivator. Is like they need this win to kind of catalyze, you know, what they want to do is a back-to-back. We can't let that happen.
But they've been miserable in the league. Like, they draw, like, lost to
haven't played well either.
I mean, like they... It, basically, from... And I'm watching the games now because it's a race. Can't score. Like, can't score, honestly. Like, they're missing their men at the back. It's just one of those things where, like, how long can you do it for? And this is, like, 2 years of just, like, the real intense, you know, everyone under scrutiny, contracts, etc. You know, you got the band might be breaking up, Mane, Salah yelling at each other. Everything's a little off. I think it's kind of one of those things where the locker room is probably not as great as it was like last season when they're all trying to win it. I think now they're kind of cracking. I think it's just kind of, that's why Sir Alex's accomplishments in the league are so amazing, because he did it so consistently for so long, and Klopp can only keep this team together for a season two.
I mean, yeah, well, the season's not over yet. But that being said, they don't look the same team they looked last year. It looks like night and day, to be honest, because I know they were top of the table before we got against Burnley.
Draw
at the 3 points.
Draw West Brom, draw Newcastle, lose to Southampton.
Which is, I mean, what I'm saying. They're not the same team they were last year. They don't look as good. They don't create as much. They don't look as clinical. And I think that's getting under Klopp's skin. The fact that there's a team that looks better than them at the moment, playing better football, getting better results. But it don't matter for nothing, sir, unless we show up at Anfield and get 3 points. Because you do that, that's a statement win.
No, it's a absolutely statement win. No, it's a statement win for many reasons. And just our recent record at Anfield, like last 10 games we played there, we've won 3, we lost 5, and we've drawn 2. I mean, it's a tough place to play. We can't state that more. And our last win came in 2016, sir. It's 4... Yeah, it's actually 5 years ago. January 2016, when LVG, the last manager, beat them 1-0 with a Rooney goal. And at that time, Klopp had only been on the job for 4 months. Liverpool were ninth in the league, and United were fifth. So if you think about it, ever since Klopp's come in, sir, haven't beaten them in their house, really.
And they haven't lost at Anfield for a year in the league since last January, sir. So it's not just us. You know, our record hasn't been terrific against them, especially since Klopp has been installed, teeth and all. But they're on great form at home. There's no fans there, of course, but it's a statement win for so many reasons. It's going to give credence to this title run. You need to do it anyway. You know, you get this win.
No, this is
6 points. And also globally, football, like, people are going to take notice. It's like there's so much fucking hype around this goddamn Liverpool team that drives me insane. I get it. They're the holders. But that being said, is like they're almost like they won one. I know, exactly.
They've only
exactly,
first of all, exactly, this is the exactly. first English Premier League title. I want to say that. They won one English Premier League title, sir. We've won a few more.
Official titles, yes.
Like, yes, league, 92. You want to talk about league titles, yes. But I'm talking about Premier League. Now, why is it harder to win the Premier League than it was to win the league in 1920? Because you're getting paid like bananas and nuts in 1920, sir. You ain't getting nothing. Now there's millions of dollars in it. And when Sir Alex came in, to win it in this era is so much harder than it was before.
Yeah, and they also, like, you know, they won 19, and they said United got knocked off its fucking perch. It's like, we're still looking down,
it's called
bro.
20 times.
Exactly, bro.
So last time I checked, sir, we have a lot of, you know, there's a lot of banter with this team. And just to put into context, the last time we went to Anfield with title implications was in October 2009 when Sir Alex lost 2-0 to Rafa Benitez's side. Torres and Ngog scored. If you remember Ngog, obviously Fernando Torres.
Remember him.
There's a song we could sing. We probably shouldn't sing it on the pod. Manchester United were first in the league going into the match, and they dropped to second as a result. Obviously, it's hard to say it's a title race in October, but if you think about the implications, that we would beat them when they came to our house at Old Trafford 2-1. I was actually at that game. That was my first Manchester United game. Unbelievable. G-Sun Park header. We won, but we lost the league to Chelsea by a point, sir. 85 points. Chelsea had 86. And if you recall, Didier Drogba was offsides when Chelsea beat us at home 2-1. So if VAR was installed, we would already have 21. But getting to this point, losing at Anfield, you could argue, cost us the title. And this, when we're only 3 points ahead, this game is so important. You think about what a title run could be. Huge if we could win.
No, it is. And we've talked about it a lot, and we're going to keep talking about it for good reason. It's like, this is pivotal for both teams because Klopp needs this win, and United, if they win it, you're not free and clear. You got a shit ton of work still to do, but it sends a statement. It's 6 points, and it gives you all kinds of momentum headed into the second half of the year, right?
And that season, like the last time we were first going to Anfield is 2009. It is 2021, sir. I went to my first game that season. I feel old now. Like, you I was like old. 11 years ago.
I know.
Oh my God. Like, but that's how much time has passed since we were first going into Anfield, and we still got beat, you know, and this was like one of the Edwin van der Sar, Paul Scholes. Sir,
we arguably had a better team. We had a better team than that year. This year, you know.
But they had Torres was the goal machine. Now, you know, but still, Anfield's always been a tough place to play. Sir, doing a little history about the rivalry. You want to get into it, sir? You love the history of Manchester.
It goes back old school. It goes back to the Industrial Revolution, of course, of the 19th century. Manchester and Liverpool, they are both big hubs. Liverpool was kind of the early dog, even pre-Industrial Revolution, big trading hub as well. And then Manchester was known as Cottonopolis due to its abundance of textile factories. This is why United's kid has a gingham print last season. Liverpool, on the other hand, obviously we talked about the ports. And towards the end of the 19th century, Manchester Ship Canal was built. We talked about this when we did the United History Pod. It was monumental to the region. It was monumental to Manchester as a city, to bring in tons of new money and kind of cut out Liverpool as that middleman shipping shit across the wild seas.
Yeah, Caesar. Basically, there was economic rivalry first before the clubs, and then obviously Liverpool rose to prominence in the 60s, 70s, 80s. You could argue probably more 70s than 80s. And then Sir Alex comes to United. Obviously, we had the Busby Babes, Sir Bobby Charlton, etc. Late 60s, that was success for United, but nothing compared to what Liverpool would have. And then obviously Sir Alex knocked them off their perch. So we fight for the title of the greatest club in English football, but we all know that we are because we won it all, sir. 121 major honors between both clubs. Obviously, we have the 20 titles. They have the 19, but then you go to Champions League, I believe, what they have, 6. We have three, you know, still. We need more European Cups, sir, or not. Obviously, we got bounced by RB. Not going to split hairs here, but either way, one of the craziest stats I could find about the rivalry was since Phil Chisholm moved from Manchester United to Liverpool in 1964, not a single player has been transferred between these two clubs. That is how bad the rivalry is, like the saltiness. Not a player between the two since 1964. To put that disdain in perspective, 9 players have moved between Barcelona and Real Madrid since then. I mean, that is great, right?
Yeah, because you know what? Our rivalry just goes beyond the years. That's 60 years of bad blood. Talk about probably 100 years of bad blood before that, or 80 years of it. And it just puts into perspective what it's all about. These are the two biggest teams in England by far. And it is that way because they've been fighting for silverware for the last 100 years against each other. So we got it. They think they're back at it. They think they're the big boss team again in the North. And we got to.
No, they're not, because players are going to leave, sir.
Oh, I know they are. But I'm saying is we need to stop that shit right now in its tracks.
And the irony is they have the American owners who didn't invest this offseason. They didn't get him Timo Werner. You know, they're cashing in. And so it's like one American owner to the other. Thanks. Looking at you.
I mean, Timo Werner, a good Timo Werner would be.
No, I know, but they wanted, there was a few players they're going to get. They didn't get them.
Yep.
And then now players are going to be asking for like Salah contract, right? It's like, he's going to go for big money. I mean, how does he not go to Madrid or something like that? I always thought he was going to leave.
Yeah.
You know, Anfield, they'll all say they love it, but come on. It's a shit boxer. Let's get into the match preview here. We have injuries. Lindelof is back. Rojo having the laugh. Palestri, COVID protocol. Phil Jones having a laugh. Great on the injury record, sir. Given those injuries, what is your lineup for this big match?
Ooh, what a match it is. Here's what I got. I got Dave Saves a Net, AWB, Baye, Maguire, and Shaw, same back for us today. And then I'm going to do Fred McTominay and Bruno, Martial, Rashford, Cavani up front.
All righty.
We poke off the bench if you need to.
I'm going to say Dave Saves world number one in net. I'm going to say Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Baye, Maguire, Shaw. I'm going to say the same Fred McTominay midfield. I think that's why they're rotated. Bruno at number 10. Then I'm going to put Martial, Cavani, and Greenwood only because I didn't like Rashford on the right against Burnley. And you're obviously going to be going against not Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Robertson.
So I think Greenwood might be a better matchup, two-footed, might keep him more honest. And then you bring Rashford on the left or number nine if Cavani's losing steam. So I think it's more of, like you said, you have some guns on the bench to go for the win. You try to keep it tight. You organize it. Don't give up too much. You know, play a clean game away and then go for the attack with the Pogba Rashford firepower off the bench. Something like that. That would be the best way to do it.
You tell me, sir. Teaching Ole, apparently, but I don't hate what you're saying. I like being able to bring firepower off the bench. And, you know, if your only striker options, Igalo, which probably won't even make the traveling team, or Greenwood because you started everybody else, I do like the idea of, like, yeah, I don't think he's not going to bench Rashford.
No, he won't. I know he won't. But I'm just thinking, like,
it's something.
Like, the plan has to be keep it close and then go for it. If you're going to get a win, like what's the playbook to win? It's not just go there and punch him, like go blow for blow.
No,
I don't think it's probably keep it close. Then you bring on maybe some pace at the end counter. It's going to be something like that. You're right. He probably starts him because of the counter, but I like playing a little trickery with Greenwood. Just because Rashford didn't look good on the right.
No, it wasn't his best game. I mean, he got the assist to Pogba.
That is true.
But Bruno didn't have a perfect, you know, great game. Wasn't one of his best. Rashford was a little scratchy.
I think we'll see a diamond. But he's looking pretty. I think Ole's gonna pull like something out.
Oh, you know,
I think
he will.
And this is a thing for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer too. Everyone should be look at the lineup. That's gonna tell you a lot about Ole. We say that he's learning on the job. Obviously, a big match like this, can he stick to his 4-2-3-1, or is he gonna try to get too cute? Maybe like he did against RB. Maybe like he did against PSG. You know, is he gonna learn lessons from those games? Booking the bookies. Ooh, sir. Liverpool -105 favorites. Draw +280. Manchester United to win +270. Hammer the +270 all day. Manchester United is going to win.
There you go.
21 titles.
Sir, what's the score?
1-0 Manchester United.
You took mine. Penalty. You know it.
Penalty. Marcus Rashford coming off the bench.
2-1. Obviously, a penalty is the decider, and Bruno scores.
You know we're getting into title race territory because we're just saying we're going to win at Anfield when, you know.
They haven't lost there in a year.
Draw would be a good call, sir.
It would be.
You know,
and draw would not be a bad result because we'd still be 3 points ahead of them. You know, you just can't lose.
It feels like RB. Okay, I'll tell you what. It's like
you can't lose. That's the goal, right?
In my heart, we're gonna win. In my mind, we lose 4-1. You know what I'm saying? In my mind, it's just like Maguire. Oh no, like Baye's injured. Like just like dying a little bit.
It's
either gonna be a tight match or like they're just gonna rip us apart at the back.
I mean, I could see it going the other way because they ain't got no Van Dijk, bro. And who are they starting as their center back? They start like, they were starting a midfielder.
Fabinho
was starting. I mean, I'm just saying is with pace, if United play, we have to play well.
So right? You play to win the game.
Play to win the game.
We're going for 3 points.
Play to win the game. 1-0.
We're going to do it. Let's go. Let's absolutely go. Can't wait. Top of the table. 6 points clear. Sir, pinch me. I'm dreaming. United in the news. big news here. January transfer window. We are going to be buying Ferran from Real Madrid for $130 million. Just kidding. We are selling Timothy Fosu-Mensah to Bayer Leverkusen. Per Sky Sports, apparently haggling over $1.8 million, sir. Big fee for Manchester United. Ed Woodward, transfer genius. Buy high, sell low. This is true to form here.
He's not very good at his job. Surprisingly, he's still in that job. We're talking about the news. Timothy Fosu-Mensah did not sign a new contract. Was offered one a couple of weeks ago. This, I guess, made sense. He needs that first team action. Probably for the best. We wish him well. $1.8 million. I mean, that ain't buying no center back replacements.
If he's pulling, you know, if you watch Sunderland Till I Die season two, it's like Maja. He's pulling the Maja. He's not re-upping. He's out.
He's out.
Why wouldn't you sign a new deal, Timothy Fosu-Mensah?
He wants to play.
He has played. He's played more than B Dubs. I mean, he's Manchester United. You know, he's a squad player. You know, fine. Wish him luck. Wish him well. Let's see if Ed Woodward can close the $1.8 million. Going to make a big difference to the balance sheet. Next news: FA Cup draw, big one. Manchester United to host the team will not be named in the fourth round. Love this one. We're going to be the first time we're going to play in the FA Cup since 2012. It will be played on the weekend of January 23rd and 24th, so we'll be playing them twice in a week. The revenge tour, if you will. And in 2012, Liverpool beat United in the fifth round en route to winning their last of seven FA Cups in 2006. So essentially, Liverpool trying to clip another FA Cup story. We're not going to let that happen on our watch. Twice in a week.
I like the sound of that. Two big wins. That would certainly make a statement.
What's cheeky is we're both going to be rotating and playing kids. So it's not going to be really, you know, it's not going to be the same as the game coming up Sunday is going to be the proper straight red. Game of games. This is why you play the game, sir. It's good. This is, if you're a fan, this is it. This sir. Is like, sir, I'm going to be up. I don't know if I can sleep.
I'm gonna be up 8:30. I better say 4 a.m.
I'm going to be up better, early. I'll be up anyway. Nervous.
Anyway. That's good.
Nervous.
That means it matters.
Sir, nervous. I'll tell you, I haven't been this excited for a game since when it was Liverpool and I was yelling at your apartment in San Francisco, woke up your neighbors at like 4:30 in the morning, I think.
Mourinho
and you were
days.
Yelling at me because I was yelling at United and losing. Now that Anfield, the same situation, sir. So.
Wasn't good. Wasn't good for your health.
But I think we're better now. We're better. Next bit of news. Sheffield United submit two transfer inquiries to Manchester United as Double Swoop is targeted. Apparently, they are launching inquiries to Jesse Lingard, Brandon Williams, Blades boss Chris Wilder is looking to strengthen his ranks for the second half of the campaign as they look for the great escape, sir, at the bottom of the table. Sheffield United hurting. They played great last year. Obviously, you know, they're having that big slump and they want Jesse Lingard or Brandon. They can't have Brandon Williams. That's got to be a loan. They can have Jesse for pretty much nothing.
£1.8 million. What was the Timothy Fosu-Mensah fee? Jesse makes sense. I mean, Sheffield got their first win today, so good on them. Jesse would be perfect option, you know, like try and get him out of the relegation. Brandon Williams, I think we're not letting him go. You know, there's requests from Southampton, but you know this. I know this. Ole ain't getting nobody in. So he's like, I can't risk him. I'm losing Timothy Fosu-Mensah. I need right back cover. We're not loaning him out.
Yeah, we're not even talking about the mentions by the manager basically saying we're not signing anyone. He there's a few quotes, Ole playing it coy, but pretty much saying what Ed Woodward wants him to, which is like, yeah, we're not expecting anything. And, you know, why would you need to buy any players when you're in a title race? And, you know, we had a questionable summer window. It's because we're broke. $58 million on the balance sheet. Next bit of news here. Manchester United they announced plans for Nathan Bishop after his contract extension. So the Manchester United youngster goalkeeper Nathan Bishop signed a new long-term contract. Kind of the young Dino, 21-year-old keeper, agreed to a new deal at Old Trafford through 23 with an option for a further year. He joined from Southend United a year ago, but he's been in first team training with De Gea, Hendo, and Romero. Apparently, he's great. And so United gave him a bumper deal, and they're going to be loaning him out this window. League One and League Two sides already interested. I love seeing this type of business from United. Bumper contracts, loan out the youngsters, develop the talent.
I'm all about it. It's the United way. We got good goalkeepers coming out of our ears these days, so that's a good place to be.
I mean,
probably the best first and second goalkeepers, certainly in the league.
Sir, we got certainly. Keepers for days, sir.
For days.
Keepers for days. Fan questions? Hot banter coming in again. We're going to try to get to as many as we can, but we have an insane amount of banter after this win, as you can imagine. You know, FA Cup, we get like 9 replies. Here, we get a lot more, you know. So we're going to remember the people replying for the FA Cup, sir. You know?
Actually, fair is fair.
I don't remember.
You remember?
No, but I do know at IC1 did tweet us at the FA Cup. So, you know, he's watching. Quote, pretty nervy ending, but 3 points on top of the table. Also, what a Pog boom. I mean, Pogba, unbelievable. Nervy. But that's what this team's about, sir.
It's never going to be easy. It's never going to be easy. So if you want it to be, probably pick the wrong side.
At Thanicus Maximus, Martial needs to get his shooting boots back. Really frustrated with his play. Too much hero ball in the final third resulted in a match that was closer than it needed to be. With all that being said, we are top of the table. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Woodwards out. Hashtag Ole's at the wheel. He's indeed at the wheel, sir. He's indeed at the wheel.
Well, we'll play an extra loud if we win on Sunday, but flying high, feeling good. Ole gets no credit. Not an inch.
What's the party plays? He downplays everything, doesn't give you nothing, doesn't give the media anything to chomp on.
His man manager has been terrific. I mean, his treatment of Pogba after Raiola was running his mouth 3 weeks ago has been spot on. He's shown an ability to manage these players. So tactically, I know everyone shits on him constantly.
He's shown an ability to basically adapt to
manage that personality.
Dealing with whatever the Glazers will give him and just keep showing a good face to the press and just trying to basically he's like Mourinho will fan the flames, you know, Ole will put out the flames. For better or for worse, whatever that gets you. But right now you gotta say you're right. The dressing room looks to be great. The Baye celebration, the Pogba celebration today, also with the words Pogba had to say today, you know, like acting like a player who really wants to win something. Understands where we are, and that's what all we can ask. That's what I said. Pogba was motivated by silverware, and the team has never been that good to win, and so he's probably been playing basketball or, you know, effing off to some other place, and now we're in it, so hopefully he believes, and we can kick on. You know, hey, if Pogba wins us a league and then moves, we'll all be applauding him out the door, sir. Absolutely.
It's true. I mean, and it's also, you win the league, it's going to be a lot easier to sell Paul Pogba for not a profit, but maybe we won't lose money, sir.
It'd be like the end of Lord of the Rings when Frodo gets in the boat and like sails away.
You're like, see ya.
Good luck in Juventus.
Stay well. Yeah, basically. Off your pop.
Sir. At Briquette Mets, quote, a big win against a team that is awful to play against. Could have been 3 or 4 for United, but the clean sheet was the platform we needed to win this match. Bring on the team who must not be named. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Love it. At Blair _with_no_e, quote, knock on wood, but that team looked like a title winning team. Energy, confidence, desire, all there. Title winning team?
There's a mentality that didn't exist before, and that's just the fact that they kept pushing. And we looked, finally, it's been a while, we looked just like we were getting more and more dangerous as the game grew on. And that is a good thing to be in, because it's been a while since the United team was just turning those screws, and we certainly did today.
At Bohan Boy for Life, Devin, quote, hard-fought win, but you called it with a low-scoring match. Now time to see the team's character with a win on Sunday. Totally agree. The question for Devin, please tweet us, what jersey are you going to wear? I know he has more jerseys than me, sir. I got like my wife's yelling at me to throw them away. Devin's like double me.
Give me
so
more.
Devin, which one are you going to pick to wear? Please tweet us. We'll tweet it out, sir.
Wait, what are you wearing?
Oh, it's got to be the Ronaldo. It's got to be the 08 Ronaldo 7. So 08 Ronaldo 7. Sir.
There you go.
All day. What about you?
OG Kush 08 Rooney. Bad boys for life, bro.
It's either, or I could go Keane. I could go the Keane, you know.
Cantona,
you know.
We'll talk later, sir.
We could talk a lot about jerseys. At Drumline 416, quote, been waiting a long time to be top of the table. Amen. All lads battled and put in a proper shift. Martial's in serious rut and Pogba looking like the player we all know he can be to raise up his price for us. Championship teams win games like this. Up the Reds, always at the wheel. That's true. Pogba's playing like he wants a higher price tag and everyone put in a proper shift. That's what it's about. Like you can tell the players know what it means. Like it's like we've been questioning their desire and the mentality for so long and now we're seeing it.
And there was no doubt that you could see how much this game meant for the title repercussions. And it showed in the players' faces. It showed in the players' faces when the bad calls went against us. It showed in our faces when the chances that we should have taken weren't made. So it's all about mentality, sir. This team is building it brick by brick.
At Brian D. Burbrink, Quote, woo, sirs, woo. Top of the table, won today in spite of the not-so-friendly ref. Paul P. does his talking with his boots. Still need help on the right wing. Hashtag Glazers out. Bye is a beast. Now time to make Klopp lose his shit at Anfield. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. It is true, the right wing. You know, and we're talking United 3 points clear when Ole didn't get the players that he identified we needed, sir. We needed a center back. We needed a right winger.
We got a right winger, not the right winger that we're going after, Amad Diallo.
This is true. We haven't talked about him,
We haven't seen him yet in the United kit. We know he's in Manchester.
Where are the training picks at? Gone
through. We're dying for some training picks.
He's probably in quarantine, right?
No, he was in a bubble at Atlanta, so he's good to go. Okay. Maybe they don't want pressure, put too much pressure on him, but hard to say. There's a lot of upside in this team, sir. Imagine, let's get through COVID. Let's get some player, some fans back in the stadium and get some cash in the coffers. And we start investing this team again.
At Ty Kircher, hello, sirs. Top of the motherfucking league. You better believe it. Hard fought game. Crap referee. Scrappy. Crappy. Let them attack their last 20 minutes. Nervy defending, but I don't care. 3 massive points. Let's go. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. And we're going to finish on this one. At you, Bosun. Quote, top of the league. Collecting W, sir. Mom. Collecting them.
Eat them up.
Always at the wheel. Absolutely love to see it. What a season. That's the podcast, sir. I mean, this season so far, it feels like 5. You know, when I say what a season is, like the depths of despair, the top of the mountain, sir. We're just getting started.
We're just getting started. And now it's starting to get exciting because we got everything to play for. And, you know, we're in a race. And you know what? You don't win a race game week 17. But you, like we talked about earlier, you could be out by now. And right now, we got plenty to play for. And Sunday is basically a final, bro. We haven't made it past any semifinals, but it feels like a final Sunday.
What a peep the narrative about the semifinals.
You got to make them to semifinal first. It's ridiculous.
It's like, get out of here. What matters to United fans? The league, sir. We're in it, like I said, the first time in January since 12-13. Like going to Anfield, title implications. This is what every season should be for Manchester United. We've been through how many managers? Moyes, LVG, Mourinho. We have not gotten this. This is something that we have not had, and we have it here, and we're doing it with a great team and a Manchester United legend at the helm who, yes, he's made mistakes, but is actually he's a player's manager. The locker room looks great. If you end up winning the league, you look to that bye tackle celebration against Villa. That's the moment. You say that he's got it right. Right? Players celebrating after a block against Aston Villa. That is what it's about. United are back, baby. Always at the wheel, sir. Always at the wheel.
Turn it up, sir. Turn it up. Turn it up. Wrong dial. Number 4.
He's doing his thing. Man United are back.
Sir, we're back because United is starting to believe. And, you know, the better we get, the more everybody around us is going to start whinging, start doubting us. So it's part and parcel of being a United fan. You know, it's part of the success. It's part of the history. It's part of who we are. And now we have to remind people who we are, sir. And you do that by you show up and you knock those giant teeth out of Klopp's mouth and you put a couple behind him, sir. Clean sheet. Big win.
But the league is not all Anfield either. You know, you have to say to go away to the champions and win would be a huge statement, but to also maybe draw or even lose a close game if we play well wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing, right? And so you have to also hedge your bets because social media would be just like, it'd be a nightmare. But it's a hard place to play, sir. 3 wins in 10. The last time we did 2016, our LVG win 1-0 with Rooney. You know, it's like, it is a hard place to play. You got to hedge your bet there.
No, it is. And you know what? If we got a draw, that's a great result.
Exactly.
We're still 3 points ahead. It's a great result. So a win is like, that is like the cherry on top.
A win is like, you know, yeah, shoving like, in their face.
Yeah, we're like dancing like, in the streets. Burns. Yeah, like, yeah, I can't wait wearing that. But a draw ain't the worst.
All right. It's been a hell of a week for downloads for the podcast. Obviously, United competing for number 21, sir. Give us our top 10 cities last 7 days.
Sir, number 1, how you doing? How you doing? Schenectady, New York. Alexandria, Virginia. El Paso, Texas, sir. Keep us going.
Walton, Kentucky. Chicago, Illinois. Fort Huacachua. You got to try to pronounce this one. Huacua?
Huachaca, Arizona. Fort Huachaca, Arizona.
Yeah, that's probably it. Fort Huachaca, Arizona, sir.
Sounds good to me. Denver, Colorado, Jacksonville, Florida, Dublin, Ireland, sir, and last but not least, Hotlanta, Georgia. Thank you to all the American Red Devil listeners around the world. Appreciate y'all.
So we have Norway, UK, India on the list, Canada. Shout out to everyone listening to the podcast. What a time to be a United fan. We are here 8 years competing for leagues. Let's go into Liverpool with everything. Tweet us how excited you are for the game, what jersey you're going to wear. We'll get it all out this week. Sunday, bloody Sunday, sir. How good does it feel?
Ole. Oh, he's at that wheel.
Oh, we're